China wants to have a dominance on its periphery, not just China itself, but extending its boundaries and having almost a buffer zone, you might call it.
The U.S. military says China poses an increasing threat to American defense superiority. This is Thursday, January 17th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also ahead, an explanation for you about why the U.S. has put travel warnings for Americans to China into effect. The U.S. vice president admits a lull in trade negotiations with Beijing, and the British prime minister faces a no-confidence vote in the parliament. All on today's VOAsia. China's acquisition of modern and technically advanced weapons pose an increasing threat to American defense superiority. That is one of the findings of a new report from the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency. It suggests that the United States is not moving quickly enough to respond to China's technological advances. Joining us on VOA Asia to talk about this is VOA National Security Correspondent Jeff Selvin. Jeff, thanks for being with us. How has China managed to gain this technical superiority?
Well, there are two ways that China's done this. First, it's been investing a lot of money in its military reorganization and refurbishment program so that it has a force that's capable of deploying outside of China. For so long, Chinese military might was focused on keeping order within China, but increasingly over the past decade, the Chinese have been looking more outward, and they've been investing more in military modernization. They've been reaching out more to other militaries, including the U.S., and learning from those militaries, and they've been building more and more of their own equipment. The other thing that they've been doing, though, to give them a little bit of a jump and perhaps help them compete more quickly with major powers like the U.S., is that they've engaged in what U.S. intelligence and defense officials call military and cyber espionage, where they've been going in trying to steal the plans for different weapon systems, planes, boats, other types of equipment, and then they have a head start. They don't have to put in the same amount of effort and money and time into research and development, and so then they come out with the stealth plane that looks very much like a stealth plane that the U.S. is flying, but they don't have nearly the lead time to get it from the conceptual stage into development.
Well, a lot of companies, of course, in order to do business with China, and this is the reason, one of the reasons for the trade war between the U.S. and China, apparently, is that part of the deal for them to do business in China, talking about U.S. companies, is to give them some information like that.
Right. And China has been very good, according to intelligence officials, about making use of what's called dual use technologies, technologies that have everyday applications that people would use in their normal day to day lives, but technology that at the same time can be used for military purposes. And so they're leveraging all of this. They're leveraging the influence they have by their One Belt, One Road policy, as it's been called, where they go out and they reach out to countries that they want to do trade with or that they want to get some raw materials, some resources from. And they've been slowly and steadily expanding their reach. And as they've been doing that, they've been putting the money into their military so that the military can keep up and so that they can project their force, not just with the strength of their economy or the strength of their diplomacy, but also back that up sooner rather than later with the strength of their military.
Now, the question is to do what with that strengthened military? The report from the Defense Intelligence Agency here in Washington says that the Chinese Communist Party is increasingly concerned with dominance across East Asia, driven in large part by Beijing's goal of reunification with Taiwan.
Yes, and the part about Taiwan is interesting. Obviously, the Chinese think that Taiwan should be part of China. And the Defense Intelligence Report indicates that because of their military modernization program, the way they've gone about to increase the lethality and the reach of their weapon systems, that the Chinese military may be becoming more and more confident in their ability to actually retake Taiwan through the use of military force. That they have the weaponry and the capabilities to project themselves beyond Taiwan itself, which would be enough to take Taiwan and prevent anybody else, like the United States, from doing anything about it. But for a long time, intelligence officials have said that one of China's main goals, even looking at it through the lens of the Korean Peninsula and North Korea and its nuclear weapons program, is to balance out their safety and security against what they see as the expanding influence of the United States. China wants to have a dominance on its periphery, not just China itself, but extending its boundaries and having almost a buffer zone, you might call it, in terms of where they control what goes on, where they have the final say, and where they're the major power that influences events.
Now, what kind of weapons are we talking about where they're gaining these advantages over the United States and the rest of the world, for that matter, I would assume? The report says some of it has to do with things that are already up in space, jamming satellites, attacking satellites with lasers, that kind of thing.
Well, not just that. There are also other weapons called hypersonics, hypersonic glide vehicles, which allow you to launch a missile and deliver it much more precisely and much more rapidly than you could with conventional rocket and missile technology. But the warning in the report is stark. According to the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, he writes in the introduction to the report that China is, quote, on the verge of fielding some of the most modern weapon systems in the world. And he goes on to say in some areas, it already leads the world in the hypersonic missiles, for which there really is no defense yet. We've heard the Russians talk about how they're working on it. The U.S. also has been working on it. But according to U.S. defense intelligence officials in this area, China is leading the way. There are also concerns, not brought up so directly in the report, about what China is doing with AI, artificial intelligence, and quantum computing, and how that's going to allow them to gain advantages in the cyber realm. And in cyberspace, the report says that China views information domination as a key component of any military action, and the use of AI, quantum computing, will help them get there faster.
Jeff Selden is VOA's national security correspondent. Thanks, Jeff.
Anytime.
VOA Asia continues. The U.S. State Department has updated its travel advisory on China, calling on Americans to exercise increased caution in the country due to arbitrary enforcement of local laws, as well as special restrictions on dual U.S.-Chinese nationals. The advisory says Chinese authorities have asserted broad authority to prohibit U.S. citizens from leaving China by implementing exit bans, sometimes keeping U.S. citizens in China for years. The warning says China uses exit bans coercively to compel U.S. citizens to participate in Chinese government investigations, to lure individuals back to China from abroad, and to aid authorities in resolving civil disputes in favor of Chinese parties. This warning says in most cases, U.S. citizens only become aware of the exit ban when they attempt to depart China. It adds that U.S. citizens under exit bans have been harassed and threatened. Dolly Yang, a professor of political science at the University of Chicago, got into greater detail about this warning when he spoke with VOA Asia's Doug Bernard.
Well, number one, there are several different levels of travel warning to any country. In this particular case, I think it's a level two. In this particular case, of course, it's based on some sort of assessment of the possibilities for example, entanglements by the local authorities and so on, plus the complications related to the trade conflict. And I think those several different factors came together for the State Department to issue such a warning.
So it sounds like, in your view, this really should not be conflated with what we see happening between China and Canada right now, where several Canadian nationals are being held on charges of espionage. Meanwhile, a Chinese national is being detained in Canada.
Well, this is a little more complicated. Ostensibly, no. In fact, the Chinese government has been very pointed with regard to Canada. But since then, however, the Chinese government itself has issued travel warnings about Chinese nationals seeking to travel to Canada and so on. So in that sense, I think it's much more complicated. And I do think in the case of the Chinese warning, the Chinese warning specifically mentioned requests by third countries, namely in this case it's the United States, in fact. So my sense is actually this is being played out by all different governments in a way. But when originally when the U.S. State Department began to recommend this, to come up with this warning, it's more of an assessment of some cases, especially because there are many Chinese coming to the U.S., but also many Americans traveling to China and Asia. So, of course, whenever that's the case, there are bound to be some issues, and this is there was some sort of a pattern, I think.
Let me flip the question on its head briefly for a moment. Do you think that there's any danger of Chinese nationals traveling to the United States being detained on whatever sets of charges, whether it's, you know, all the way up from espionage down to the passport usage? Is that likely to happen?
Well, let me put it this way. The Department of Justice does have a list of people who have been charged, or certainly there have been actually warrants on them. So certainly for those individuals, Chinese nationals, of course, they would be concerned, especially on cybersecurity issues and so on. But overall, obviously, the U.S. and Canada both are countries governed by the rule of law, and I don't think Chinese nationals or nationals of any country should be concerned about traveling in the United States.
Final question. Do you think that any of this might throw a wrench, as it were, into the ongoing negotiations over trade between the United States and China?
Well, those are little noises in respect of the overall trade negotiations. That's a huge issue, and both sides have teams that are extremely focused on their jobs at this moment. I think, of course, with only a few weeks left in the negotiations, as soon as the trade situation gets cleared up or certainly gets better, it should actually also help to smooth relations in other respects.
China hit back against the new U.S. travel advisory. The Associated Press reported Liu Kang, a spokesman for the Chinese Foreign Ministry, said the advice cannot stand up to scrutiny. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence Wednesday admitted that little progress has been made in trade talks with China. Speaking to the chiefs of America's diplomatic missions around the globe at the State Department, Pence said a lull in those talks, even after President Trump met with Chinese President Xi, agreed December 1st during a meeting in Argentina to a truce in their trade war.
We've put China on notice. President Trump's direction, we've placed tariffs on $250 billion of Chinese goods, with the highest tariffs specifically targeting the advanced industries that Beijing is attempting to capture and control, the high parts of the modern economy. As the President's made clear, the United States is prepared to levy even more tariffs until China makes much-needed structural changes and signs a trade deal that works, not only for their nation, but for ours. And we remain hopeful. We remain hopeful that China will come to the table. Even as negotiations take place, as we speak, that China will come to the table and finally enter into a fair and reciprocal trade relationship. The truth of the matter is, we also need a better relationship with China and understand our relationship across the Indo-Pacific. We've all seen the aggressive efforts in the South China Sea by China. But the United States of America, as I said before and I say again, will continue to stand with nations across the region for a free and open Indo-Pacific and for freedom of navigation on the seven seas of the world.
U.S. Vice President Mike Pence. The British Prime Minister Theresa May survived a no-confidence vote in Parliament Wednesday to remain in office, but saw more of her power ebb away as she battled to keep Brexit on track after lawmakers demolished her European Union divorce deal. May won a narrow victory of 325 votes to 306 votes on an opposition motion seeking to topple her government and trigger a general election. The British Prime Minister suffered an historic defeat in Parliament Tuesday when British lawmakers resoundingly rejected the deal she struck with Brussels for leaving the European Union later this year. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, John Ellison, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VO Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Skylar Rogdon, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Anna Cook. I'm Ira Melvin in Washington. Enjoy your day.